Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 11th of December. Joining us in just a moment with a very important article that she's written that's in the December 8th issue of The New Yorker, Robin Wright. Robin has been covering the Middle East since 1973. She's written several books about the area. She is a joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. She writes about the Vortex, a Turkish city on the front of Syria's war. And I say it's important because it's a very big article. It looks at the amount of money that we're spending, the importance of Syria. She says an end to the war and a political transition in Damascus could have more of an impact in the Middle East than the ouster of Saddam Hussein or the Arab Spring uprisings in Tunisia and Egypt. We are spending an incredible amount of money in that particular conflict. We'll talk about Operation Inherent Resolve, how it is going, the number of Syrian refugees in Turkey, and much more with Robin Wright joining us momentarily here on the Ideas Network. This is, of course, also the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our Milwaukee studios. We hope that you know that our single largest support of funding is listener support. It means that in this season of giving, your gift is so important so we can keep bringing you these very important conversations. So please take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 9 new and returning members to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much for those pledges.
And right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match. I love these because it's double your money. It's up to $1,900, and it's from a pair of anonymous donors, Lisa. It means they will match every dollar that you give. It's their way of encouraging you to help them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's incredible. We have that this hour, and also through the entire drive, anytime you pledge, you can be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You could tour Washington, D.C., go to France, or see Alaska's beautiful scenery. And I just want to say, too, you don't have to donate to enter. You can just go to WPR.org to find out the details.
All right. Great. And you can get your pledge doubled right now. So what an hour we have going here. It's a great opportunity. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, every afternoon, and I feel like this hour is such a perfect example of that. We're all part of such a special conversation. I don't know if you've seen the actual article in The New Yorker, but it's incredible photographs, and it's page after page after page of all of this information. And that's kind of just what we do here every day. So you don't get a show like this anywhere else. And this show is possible pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So give right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support all of the programs that you love, and as an added incentive, we have something special during this year-end membership drive. It is a limited edition 2015 calendar, and it's yours when you give $120 or more, which is $10 a month.
And I had a chance to see the proofs of these calendars, and they're incredible. They have these old black and white photos of Wisconsin Public Radio, like in the early days of radio. So when you make your pledge, ask for the calendar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to D.C., France, or Alaska. When you give, you're automatically entered. You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month or whatever amount you choose, we thank you for it.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio for information, entertainment, and great discussions, and you make Wisconsin, you make your community a better place just by listening because you're a more well-rounded person.
you are a listener, and now we ask you to take the next step. As one person said in a comment yesterday, what can we do to help? Well, to help, you can become a member. Your first ever donation of maybe $5 a month makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio probably every day, multiple times every day, it's safe to say that WPR is this key big part of your life. I mean, you can think of it as like the soundtrack of your day.
Yeah, you can. And it's true. People listen. There's so much information on this network. So your day is better. You are so much more informed. You count on information, interesting ideas, things that make you laugh every now and then. So support that daily dose of WPR. This is a great hour because it's one of those double your money hours. If you pledge $10 a month, it's really $20 a month because we have generous donors who are matching your gift. So this is the hour to do it. It's a very important part of your life. I know your gift, so appreciated. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just want to touch on that dollar for dollar match. That's in effect this hour. Not all hours have these. And it's from a pair of anonymous donors. And so let's say you donate $50. Well, that $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. So it's such a great time to take advantage of this match to be able to double your support of WPR programs right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we have another great reason to give.
Oh, we got so many of them. If you pledge any amount, you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. It could be to Washington, D.C., or to France, or an Alaskan adventure. Double the impact of your pledge. Enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network every day, and you rely on these discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. And that's why your gift right now during our year-end membership drive is so important.
Help us put a strong finish on 2014 so we can bring you the issues and talk in the months to come in 2015. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, so give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Great hour to give. And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, you will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And if you're a sustainer, don't worry, relax, because you are automatically entered.
And during this pledge drive, we're really excited to offer this really new thank you gift. It's limited edition, a 2015 calendar featuring these amazing historic WPR photos. Help us start 2015 strong and make WPR a part of your daily life in this brand new way when you pledge $10 a month or $120 or more and ask for the calendar. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Max from Madison says, I love everything you do. I commute daily from Madison to teach at UW-Whitewater, so we spend a lot of quality time together, and that's what we do. That's a good way to put it. We spend quality time together. And Arlene and Deidre from Potosi say, we love WPR. The chance to enter the drawing is a nice little incentive to donate.
It sure is. Your pledge right now is so important during this year-end membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa. We're going to be talking about a very important story that appeared in the December 8 issue of The New Yorker. Robin Wright, who has traveled all over the world for many years and has covered the Mideast since 1973, will be joining us in just one moment. Robin Wright is our guest now on the Ideas Network. Robin has a very important and very interesting piece in the December 8 issue of The New Yorker. It's titled The Vortex, a Turkish city on the frontier of Syria's war, letter from Gaziantep. Robin is a joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. She has been covering the Middle East since the mid-70s, is the author of many books, including Rage and Rebellion, Across the Islamic World, Rock the Casbah is the name of that book, and several other books as well. So we're going to be talking to her about what we're doing in Syria, what's going on in Turkey, the importance of Syria to that whole part of the world. As she says in the article, an end to the war and a political transition in Damascus could have a huge impact in the Middle East. We'll be welcoming phone calls for her. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, please leave comments there. We love to read them, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Kathleen.
Why don't you place us in the town where you were in the month of October, which has undergone an economic transition and which seems to be a gathering place for everybody in the Middle East. Some are good people, some are not so good.
Well, Gaziantep is a city along the southern war front with Syria, and it's an amazing town or city, actually, of over a million people. It was once best known as the birthplace of baklava, and especially a kind of pistachio baklava that's famous worldwide. It's even had reviews in the New York Times. And over the last 6 months, it's become the frontier, the front line for the world in organizing its campaign against Syria and against ISIS in Syria. And so there are rebels and an opposition government, but as well as spies and ISIS agents, all gathering in this city that is actually very developed. It's a, as you pointed out, it's a product of the past decade. And so I went to one of the new shopping malls where they had a Burger King, a McDonald's, a Popeyes, a KFC, and an Arby's. And Brad Pitt's movie Fury was playing on the cinema there. I saw a red Lamborghini driving down the street. Mm-hmm. And so this is a city that is not poor, but it's also being redefined by the influx of hundreds of thousands of Syrians just into Gaziantep as part of more than or almost 2 million Syrian refugees that have flooded Turkey. So it's a fascinating frontier post. It's what Casablanca was in the 1940s during World War II, or what Peshawar in Pakistan was during the war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. There are these war frontier cities that have become famous throughout history, and Gaziantep is the latest of them.
I would imagine when you were there, you were looking over your shoulder frequently, because you write that this summer ISIS is widely believed to have penetrated that town, and that Americans who are working there are warned, don't wear anything that will give up your identity. You need to keep a low profile and stay away from Starbucks.
Yes. Well, anything that might be seen as a gathering place for Americans. And there have been two terrorism alerts that have been issued over the past couple of months, and another one from the FBI warning that ISIS is trying to cross the border and particularly to nab journalists and non-government organizations, NGO personnel, mm-hmm. to take them back into Syria and behead them for the drama that they mm-hmm. create. But just a week before I went to Gaziantep, the local police chief announced that they had captured more than 330 pounds of C4 plastic explosive, and just 1 pound can kill several people, as well as almost 30 suicide vests. So this is a, you know, everyone's kind of waiting for something to kind of pop, something to show that this, that the dangers everyone feels and fears are, you know, playing out in some real form.
Tell me, you talk about this in the article, how many people from Europe and maybe other countries in the world who want to join up with ISIS are making their way through this town to get to the border so they can fight with them, and what the response has been of the Turkish government to deport those people. There are more than I thought there were.
Well, the Gaziantep used to be one of the most popular places for jihadis to travel into Syria. They would fly to Istanbul and then fly down to Gaziantep and then drive across the border. ISIS is just 40 minutes away from this city. And the border post where I also drove down, there are two different border posts, but one's just a few minutes, you know, less than an hour away. And so Gaziantep was the place that people were going. But the Turkish government began to be alarmed after the fighters who initially were going there to try to defeat the government of Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, turned out to be instead joining ISIS. And as a result, the Turks began to clamp down, and they have turned back 1,000 people and have another 6,000 on the watch list. But the U.S. now believes that there are 18,000 foreign fighters.
18,000.
Fighting in the, you know, in Syria alone. That's not including Iraq. And that 10,000 of those are fighting with ISIS, and they include a few hundred Americans. And that the other 8,000 are fighting with mostly other extremist factions.
And what about this possible government in exile that's in Turkey right now? Do you see signs of there being a strong opposition to Assad, an opposition to ISIS that has any credibility, any legitimacy?
Well, it's a very good question. And the problem is that the opposition in Syria, or outside Syria mainly, has no Nelson Mandela figure. There's no Lech Walesa. There's no heroic, charismatic leader who has emerged to rally public opinion, to unite the diverse factions and ethnic groups and sectarian movements inside Syria. And as a result, the opposition government that is based in Gaziantep, in a lovely new building that looks a little bit like it, as one person said to me, should be a Swiss embassy, is led by a dentist. And he may be a nice man, a nice dentist, but the fact is he is not the potential alternative to Bashar Assad, nor is he a person who represents all the different factions. One of the problems with the Syrian war, and it's, you know, there are two different wars in Syria, which is what a lot of people don't understand. One is the rebels who emerged after the 2011 uprising against Bashar Assad as part of that Arab Spring. And the second war involves the same rebels fighting off ISIS extremists who want to take up the territory that they had claimed as their own, and ISIS is increasingly winning in that war, and so is Bashar Assad, and the rebels are increasingly marginalized. But part of that is their own fault because they are deeply divided. There are at least 1,000 different factions of opposition militias.
1,000?
More, well over that. And there are probably 300 of them that are of note or are significant. And the Free Syrian Army, which is the group supported by the United States and many Western allies, really is not a single army. It's an umbrella movement for groups that often are just from a neighborhood. They're not even necessarily defending a whole city, that you're finding that people are just trying to secure small areas and prevent, whether it's the radicals, I mean, militants from ISIS or from the government from moving in. And they haven't formed a movement that cares about each other. And so there's no sense of that kind of common good. And that's made it all the more difficult to fight on both fronts.
Well, another part of the article, I was astounded. I knew there was a lot of money in the military, but when you outlined how much money the United States is contributing here, we'll talk about humanitarian aid, but let's talk about military efforts here, Operation Inherent Resolve. These fighter jets that we've got are incredibly expensive, and they cost tens of thousands of dollars to operate per hour when they're in the air. Tell us how much money is involved here and whether or not we're hitting our targets, we're making any difference.
Well, that's the key question, isn't it? The United States, just in the small city of Kobani, 40,000 people, most of them have gone now, but this town on the border between Syria and Turkey that has been the focus of U.S. efforts for the last 2.5 months. The U.S. has flown over 320 airstrike missions on Kobani. And then think about this. One Tomahawk missile costs $1.2 million. One F-22 warplane costs $350 million. It's the most advanced warplane we've ever developed. But to fly it for 1 hour is $68,000. And many of these planes will fly several hours to and from to hit Kobani. And 2.5 months in this little town, ISIS still controls half of it. Now, their losses have been heavy. One U.S. official I talked to yesterday said they had lost up to 1,000 men. That's a lot of people for a small city. That they have taken a lot of equipment losses. The irony or tragic irony is that U.S. warplanes are largely hitting American military equipment that had been part of the Iraqi army. But when the Iraqi army fell apart, when ISIS invaded Iraq, ISIS captured that equipment and brought a lot of it back into Syria, including in Kobani. And so there were tanks, artillery, and other U.S. vehicles, other U.S. equipment used by ISIS. And when so those U.S. warplanes are hitting a lot of American equipment as well as ISIS fighters. And this is the great challenge. This is just one small town in Syria. And when you think how much is at stake in a country that's very large,
right,
you realize how complicated this mission is.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS controls a territory now the size of at least Indiana. And that doesn't, and that's, you know, including parts of Syria and Iraq. And then Syria is its own big country. So we're beginning to see what will be the long-term costs in the hundreds of millions or billions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
Yet again and already.
Mm. And didn't you say that they're using, sometimes they're setting buildings on fire, so those very expensive fighter jet missions that are costing all of that money, you can't see the target because smoke is obscuring where you're supposed to hit.
Well, the kind of low-tech response that mm-hmm. ISIS has used is they're taking tires from vehicles and they set them on fire. And I saw it while I was looking at the Kobani border, watching this war. It's a surreal experience. You're standing on a hillside watching, you know, U.S. warplanes bombing this place, and you hear the mortars going off and the dust and the automatic rifle fire. It's a cacophony of war sounds and weaponry. And so when the warplanes fly over, ISIS will light these tires on fire that set off the black smoke, plumes of black smoke, to try to conceal their movements from the warplanes. You know, you think about these multimillion-dollar planes we've got there, and all they're doing is setting on fire a few tires to try to provide cover for their movements on the ground. And so there's a real asymmetry in the technology of this conflict.
Yeah. Robin Wright is our guest. Robin has recently returned from the place that she writes about. It's called Gaziantep, and it is a Turkish city on the frontier of Syria's war, where, as you heard her say, she was up on a hillside watching the war. She writes in great depth about this important part of the world, the importance of Syria, the American response, the humanitarian response, the refugees, what the future is of Syria, who the rebel forces are, if they are legitimate at all, the strength of ISIS. It's an important discussion, and we will continue with her in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn, as you probably know by now, and Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee. This is also our year-end membership drive, and we do these kinds of conversations They are so important. It's so important to know where, if nothing else, your money is going, and it's a large amount of money. So we have these kinds of conversations frequently. This is your radio station. We love to talk about important topics. And right now, during this drive, it is your chance to make sure that these important topics continue in 2015. You make WPR programs possible as we head into a new year when you pledge. And here's how you do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour up to $1,900, and it's in effect this hour only. It's a great time to pledge because a pair of anonymous donors will double every dollar you give.
Great.
It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR right now. So double the impact of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we have another really cool reason to pledge.
And we do, Lisa. If you donate any amount, you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose. It's Washington, D.C., or a trip to France, or Explore Alaska. Double your gift now and get entered in that drawing. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that completely made you stop whatever you were doing to listen? And I feel like this hour is a perfect example of that. You just are probably glued right now to your radio. And that's what we strive to do every single day, to give you a brand new way of looking at things, to kind of engage your brain in a different way. The programs that affect your life, this kind of radio only happens. It only happens with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love and that you deem important on Wisconsin Public Radio. We also have, you know, we've been around for a long time, almost 100 years. So we do have a limited edition 2015 WPR calendar, which features historic photos, and some go way back of WPR through the years. And it's yours for a gift of $120 or more, $10 a month. Again, to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, you go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think or know that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state. But the number one source of income for Wisconsin Public Radio is listener contributions.
So that means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important your listener support is to WPR, here's what you can do to help. Make a pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Our winter membership drive continues. Please make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge may be $5 a month, or it might be $100 a month. We really do appreciate, and we count on your gift.
So many people now are becoming sustainers, and when you become a sustainer, you choose a monthly gift amount and set it up to come out of your bank account or credit card, and it continues for as long as you like.
Because WPR is one of those things that you don't want to live without, you might as well support it with a convenient, flexible, sustaining membership. Get started right now. Gift of $5, $10 a month, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is a little bit of a shorter pledge drive than our October drive. So I know you've heard a lot of the different ways to say, make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, you can say, stand up and be counted. Make your voice heard. Support what you love. You do all of those things, and you make such a difference when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have that dollar-for-dollar match, so this is one of those great hours to pledge because it's double your money. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount this drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And if you're a sustainer, many of you are, you don't have to worry because you are automatically entered.
And this pledge drive, we're offering an exciting new thank you gift, limited edition 2015 calendar with lots of historic photos. So it's a great hour to pledge. It's double your money. You can get this calendar when you pledge $10 a month, and you'll feel great, as a lot of people have as they pledge. Robert from Milwaukee has pledged. We also have, Brian from Madison, who says, I listen to great shows on WPR all the time. I would truly miss it if it ever ceased production. And so don't have a cease production.
Right.
We don't have any plans to, but, you know, we want to keep on rolling.
Right. Pledge right now. It's important. It's our year-end membership drive. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support.
Thanks very much, Lisa. Robin Wright is our guest this hour. And Robin has just returned from Gaziantep in Turkey. December 8 issue of The New Yorker, her piece, The Vortex, a Turkish city on the frontier of Syria's war. We have it, I believe, the article on our Facebook page, too, which you, I hope you have a chance to read because it's a very important article. We're welcoming phone calls for her as well. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Robin, you quote people, various people in the article about the moral obligation that we have to become involved here. And yet, even top people in the administration have said that this is complicated. They don't seem to be knowing what exactly to do. What is our stated purpose? What is our obligation?
Well, the United States on the humanitarian level has been very active and has provided almost $3 billion in aid, foodstuff, medicine, and so forth. And interestingly enough, at one point this year was actually supporting more than 1 million people who lived under ISIS rule. Under the principle that anyone who is hungry deserves to be fed, even if they're living under ISIS. There was a heated debate in Washington about whether that was ethical or not and whether that liberated funds for ISIS then to buy guillotines. But the in the end, the debate was decided rather quickly that the U.S. should help those who are suffering. And the suffering in Syria today is one of the greatest and biggest tragedies since the end of World War II. Half the population of Syria is today either refugees in neighboring countries or displaced from their homes or cities inside Syria. One quarter of Lebanon's population is now Syrian refugees. 20% of Jordan's population is now Syrian refugees. The second largest city in Jordan is Syrian refugees. It's a refugee camp. Turkey has taken even the largest group, almost 2 million refugees. In one weekend, or two weekends in October, almost 200,000 flooded across the border. And it's likely to increase. And the suffering is quite staggering. And the tragedy is the world is so disinterested in yet another emergency operation.
Yes.
In the Middle East, that the World Food Program, which is run by the United Nations, had to cut off 1.7 million refugees from receiving food because it didn't have the money to pay for the food.
Mm. And you talk about the children who are in these refugee camps and who have been displaced, and they have been described as, they're not going to school, a lost generation. What kinds of lives will they have?
Well, that's the problem. You have 3 million children who are no longer in school in Syria. And this war has now gone on for almost 4 years, and there's no end in sight. It could well go on for many years to come. And the danger is you create not only a lost generation that's poorly educated, can't play major roles, whether it's in development or just the modernization of a developing country, but that they are then lured into the forces that can provide, whether it's the militias, the militants, or whether it's the crime lords and the warlords who are emerging in ever larger numbers inside Syria, because those are the only ones, through their corrupt or militant ways, who who are paying people.
Mm.
And so that's the danger. I went to 4 refugee camps in near Kobani, all of them that have just been built. And the Turks have actually done a pretty good job of taking all these people in, absorbing them. They don't live well. In one camp, which had just popped up, they had well over 3,000 people living in 400 tents with one little building with a bathroom for men and a bathroom for women. Can you imagine?
No. No,
And we're heading into winter where it's very cold. There's no heat. There's no school. There's nothing for these kids to do. They're basically living behind a fence in these very small tents that you can barely, an average man probably can't stand up in it. And as you can tell, there are, almost 10 people per tent. That's just not a way to exist.
Yeah. Let's take a couple phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Mike in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I'm actually in South Milwaukee. I have great familiarity with that region. I've toured Turkey extensively. I've been at Gaziantep. And I'm a descendant of the Armenian genocide. The root cause of this problem, which we have failed to address, is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a supporter of ISIS. Saudi Arabians attacked the World Trade Center. And we are staunch allies of Saudi Arabia, which is a despotic, oligarchic monarchy. And until we face that fact, it's not going to get better. I would encourage all the listeners to read House of Bush, House of Saud, which was published in 2003. Our government is inextricably linked with Saudi Arabia. They are the sponsors of terrorism. We're actually on the wrong side.
Robin.
Well, actually, Saudi Arabia is part of the 60-member coalition that the United States has created to fight ISIS. But it is true that the Saudi fundamentalist religion has spawned many of the extremist groups in the same way it gave life to Osama bin Laden. The Saudi government officially is an ally in fighting it. But Saudi Arabia is also responsible for some of the factionalization. The interim government has the backing of Turkey and a country that's adjacent to Saudi Arabia called Qatar. And those two countries support the current Syrian opposition government, but the Saudi Arabians didn't. And that led to a huge dispute. One of the problems with the Syrian opposition is they're not just divided among themselves, but they reflect the divisions in the Arab world. Now, on the issue of Saudi Arabia, one thing that your caller is very right on, this is a country with draconian practices, and we abhor the beheading of one of my colleagues, James Foley, in August by
yes.
ISIS. But Saudi Arabia the same month beheaded over a dozen people and over 70 this year. We condemn the practice, but we're not very consistent in applying our values to across the board. That's one of the unfortunate realities of U.S. foreign policy. Saudi Arabia has oil, and whether the president in the White House is Republican or Democrat, we have opted to keep Saudi Arabia as one of our closest allies.
Robin, you've been covering this part of the world for a long, long time, since 1973. What you've described to us really sounds pretty much like hell to me. It sounds awful. And I don't know if there's any guiding light for us. I don't know how Syria, how Assad leaves power, how Syria becomes a peaceful country, which would be all important for that particular part of the world, a very important thing to have happen. What is the way there? I don't see it. You've been observing it for a long time. Robin, what's the way?
Well, don't I wish I had an answer to that question, and I suspect there are many in the U.S. government who also wish that there was a way out. The problem is because there are two wars, it's more complicated. And in many ways, as I quote one U.S. official as saying, this is the most complex war the U.S. and the world has faced in 100 years, really, since the borders of the modern Middle East were created by European powers after World War I. And the U.S. strategy for now is really truncated, that we're fighting ISIS. And we're fighting ISIS primarily in Iraq, hoping that we can recreate Iraq, push back ISIS into Syria, and in the meantime, while we're doing that, build up a rebel force in Syria that is stronger, better armed, that can then fight both ISIS and the government of President Bashar Assad. And the problem is that 4 years into this conflict, I met a lot of young fighting-age men who are no longer interested in fighting. The war, the zeal, the enthusiasm, the energy, the momentum, originally during the Arab uprising, had led many to put their lives on the line, but many of those people also died. More than almost a quarter of a million people have died now in Syria. And everyone has a cousin, an uncle, a brother who has been killed or badly injured. And so the realities, the tough realities of war, the same way Americans don't like sending our loved ones off to a war and to the risk of losing life or limb. And that feeling is emerging too. And so I think it's going to be hard for the U.S. to build that force. And even in the best of all possible worlds, we do build a 15,000-man force over 3 years, which is the current plan. The idea that they could fight both ISIS, which is already estimated to number at least 30,000, and the government of Bashar Assad, which has 70,000 to 100,000 forces, seems pretty unlikely. Now, the U.S. is not looking for the rebels to win against ISIS, against President Assad, but they do want enough pressure so that he is forced to the negotiating table to look for a political compromise. Now, that if it were just that part of the war, that might be possible. The problem is the rebels' territory has now increasingly been eaten up by ISIS. And so they have less and less territory, less and less claim to be a viable opposition. They're being increasingly replaced. And the idea that it's going to take 3 years for the U.S. to build an alternative force just seems highly unrealistic. So it is a conundrum the likes of which we have not faced. And the tragedy is most Americans don't want to hear about it for understandable reasons. You know, another Mideast war, right. Another something that could suck us in at huge cost. With what impact?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for all of your reporting. It's just a terrific article, and obviously we need people like you who are uncovering what's going on, because we do need to know what's happening. Thank you very much, Robin, for being with us.
Thank you.
Robin Wright. Robin has been covering the Middle East since 1973. We direct you to the December 8 issue of The New Yorker. Her piece is The Vortex, a Turkish city on the frontier of Syria's war, a letter from Gaziantep, and it takes us through the whole complexity of who it is we're fighting in this double war against Assad and against ISIS, and how much money is involved and how many refugees there are, and how complicated it is and what a total mess it is. And it's important to know that. We do a lot of these kinds of programs because we figure it's one of our missions, actually, to understand what's going on in various parts of the world. And so it's good that Robin could be with us. And the article should be on our Facebook page as well, I believe. So you may want to take a look at that so you can understand what this is all about. So we thank Robin for being with us, and thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this interesting hour. This also, we have a lot going on. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee for our year-end membership drive. And if you've put off donating to WPR in 2014 or to this show, we only have another hour for you to pledge to this show. Well, now would be the time for you to take action. If you have given, If you're a sustainer, now may be the time to make a special year-end gift. It'll just take a few minutes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number to call.
That's right. This is a shorter pledge drive, and this is the last day to show your support for the Kathleen Dunn Show on Wisconsin Public Radio. And what an incredible hour to do so in. And to make it even sweeter, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from a pair of anonymous donors. So how it works, let's say you donate $75. That turns into $150. $100 turns into $200. So you can take advantage of this match, double your support of Wisconsin Public Radio when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we have another reason to give.
Well, if you pledge any amount, you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose between Washington, D.C., getaway to France, or a trip to Alaska. So it's double the impact of your pledge and enter the drawing right now and feel good about giving to an hour of really substantive conversation. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been having this conversation all hour about Syria and specifically what's happening in this border town in Turkey, Gaziantep. And it was written by Robin Wright from The New Yorker. And it's such a complex issue, but I thought this hour really makes it accessible and makes you curious for more. And I think that's why we do what we do.
And we like to highlight people. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. she put herself at great risk. This is not an easy place for journalists to be these days, and she's been there for years, and she just got back. And to hear her reporting, I mean, it's important for us to, we can't be there, but to hear her, a superb reporter, giving us all that information is part of what we do. So take a few minutes to make these kinds of conversations and more. We'll give you more possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive only, you can choose this limited edition 2015 WPR calendar as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more, which is $10 a month. And your pledge supports the programs, and you're going to love this calendar.
It has black and white great photos of Wisconsin Public Radio history, which is very long now. So make your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and ask for your WPR calendar.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up, on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are asking for your support of WPR during this year-end membership drive. How can you help? Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is fine, and thank you.
Maybe you're interested and you decided now is the time to play a larger role in support of WPR. We have something for you. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members want to make sure that public radio programming will be here today, tomorrow, for the next 100 years. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Why should you give at this very moment? Because you're listening right now and you're thinking about it right now.
And you know it's the right thing to do. You'll feel good when you do it. You will have helped us enormously. WPR is, you know this, a very important public service, and you'll be making an investment in all of these important conversations and news and entertainment that we provide.
We use your donation very wisely. It goes right into the programs that you hear every day. So support this station, what you value, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge drives are important times to hear from new members. I'll bet there are a few of you out there right now. If you are a member, if you are a member yet, if you aren't, you can take that step at this very moment.
And it's really easy to become a member. It's going to take a few minutes, and any amount that you give makes you a member. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make a contribution of, let's say, $5 a month. Then when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
And you'll be joining the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with other member contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
And that single largest piece is what creates great programs every single day. So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar for dollar match still in effect. We're coming down to the last hour you can pledge to this show. And this is, you get double your money this hour. So it's a good hour to pledge, right? Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, you're already entered.
And how do you pledge, Lisa?
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you. Lisa Nalbandian with us. And thanks to Scotty Myers for producing the program, doing on-air production. Thanks, as always, to KP Whaley for all his production help. And thanks to Lisa and to Katie Mattson as well. Matt Bai is with us. Hour two of our show is written a terrific book about politics.